Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome once again to Whiskey Congress. Steven, how you doing, man? We got a bottle of Tullamore Dew. We got some New Belgium Citradelic. It's Saturday before the next, for week four of the NFL season, and I'm sure that will come up at some point.
Saturday in... No.
All right. Thank you.
Jim, I'm pissed. You want to know why I'm pissed?
Why are you pissed?
Because I'm stupid.
I could have told you that a while ago. I know you could have gotten into Harvard and I couldn't, but...
Right, so... That
people who didn't... Oh, don't get mad. Don't get shitty with me. After just, all the Harvard jab
I'm
you took
just,
at me...
Well, I'm just bit. Saying. I'm just saying.
All right.
I got into Harvard.
You didn't get into...
What did you do?
I did not. I didn't even try. But why... Well, so why are you stupid?
Because I left my iPad on a plane.
Enough is enough. I've had it with these lost iPads and these lost fucking planes.
Yeah, it's so dumb. I'm still pissed. I did it Wednesday, flying from Cleveland to Baltimore, flight 1395. Anybody on that flight who happened to find an iPad, let me know.
if a listener happened to find your iPad and gives it back to us, we win.
Right, that's a huge win. I was trying to get hooked up on the Wi-Fi. I started with the iPad and I couldn't get it going. And so I switched to my phone, put the iPad in the pocket right there in front of me. And then I was, messing around with it and we take off and then they're like, oh, sorry, the Wi-Fi is not working. So I'm freaking out because I can't have, I'm not going to have internet access for 45 minutes on this short flight. Right,
so 45 minutes with no internet.
Right,
will I survive?
And so I just, all right, fuck it. So I just throw music on, throw the headphones on, zip up the bag, completely forget to grab the iPad out of the back pocket. Don't realize it until yesterday. I went to pull it out of my bag, and it's just like shit. It's not there. So then I got to call Southwest. I call baggage claim or the baggage people for Southwest in Baltimore. They said, oh no, it's not here. And then I filed a claim with Southwest, the whole fucking thing.
I hate to empathize too much, but I've done the same. I've never lost one, but there have been multiple times where I got home and I'm freaking out, and it turns out that I stuck it in a different bag, whatever.
Yeah.
So I know that sinking feeling. I was lucky enough that I didn't.
I'm coming to grips with the fact that I'm probably going to have to just buy another one. But I'm going to give it probably another, I'll give it till like Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it should lock, right?
Oh, it's locked. I'm not worried about the information.
I'm just saying information. I'm just saying that, no one's going to benefit from having this thing they can't get into. So hopefully they say, hey, I found this iPad.
No, it's got a 6-digit passcode on it, fingerprint, all that stuff. And I got the
123456. He watched Spaceballs too many times.
Yeah. I have the, find my iPhone app or whatever. So if anyone were to turn it on and were to get through all the passcodes and then get it on the Wi-Fi, then
you'll know where they are.
I would immediately know where they are, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I hope you get it back.
I probably won't.
I know. I'm sorry.
I'm accepting the fact that I'm annoyed because I was all excited because I was going to go get a new iPhone, the iPhone 8 Plus. And now it's just like, now do I really want to go and drop $1,500 on phones and tablets right now, right?
Like, well, maybe you find one of those things where if you buy the iPhone 8 Plus, you get... Apple doesn't do that shit.
They're like, fuck you. You will pay full price, bitch.
You left your iPad on the plane.
Right. Go fuck yourself. Pay full price. Matter of fact, you need to pay more than what it actually costs.
Because you were on a discount airline when you did it.
Right. Hey.
No, they are. I like Southwest. Oh, they're not Frontier.
Spirit, Frontier, Allegiant. Those are discount airlines. Southwest is legit.
I know I've talked about this a long time ago with you on the old show, but the former CEO of Southwest is one of my favorite people because his name was Herb Kelleher, and he started as a baggage handler, and he was famous for drinking a bottle of Wild Turkey a day. Oh. He was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to respect the Wild Turkey aspect.
No,
but
it's
dude
not.
Threw down whiskey.
Listen, I respect that, having consumed some Wild Turkey in my day. That 101 proof with that that just gasoline burn at the back of it. Yeah,
yes.
No, I respect it. I just the thought of
a bottle a day
makes my eye twitch.
He also smoked two packs a day. And in one of my favorite press conference moments ever, he was asked a question about what will be the next major airline to fail. And he looked at the moderator and said, how much time do I have to kill to duck that question? I just love the honesty. All right, man. Speaking of honesty or lack thereof, we've had another interesting week in politics.
Is Donald Trump still the president?
Donald Trump is still the president and figures to be for the next almost 3.5 years.
3 years.
We're getting counting down.
We're almost out
but,
of a year.
All right, so there's so much to talk about, and I really wish we could just.
Well, I want to jump into his tweets, Donald Trump's tweets towards Puerto Rico, which they caught me so, you know, everything with Donald Trump is, you know, should that really be a surprise?
I was going to say, how often do we do the why are you shocked? I mean, it seems like one of us is calling out the other every other week for why are you surprised? Because what is shocking at this point? And yet, he essentially blamed, he basically claimed Puerto Ricans were not doing anything and they're just sitting back waiting for other people to do things for them. Which has a whole bunch of undertones I wouldn't mind getting into. Are you looking for the actual tweets?
Yeah, and you know what? I think he actually deleted them.
Really? That's something he rarely does. Mostly because I think when he tweets something, what's the point in deleting it? It goes out to however many million people. So it's going to get screenshotted. And also, I think you only delete tweets when you have the capability of registering regret and decency, and neither of those are skills the president is blessed with an abundance of.
So he deleted them.
Wow.
Which is amazing. And which is frustrating because, I mean, what he said was just so brutal. You know, which is, now I'm very pissed that he deleted these tweets, and I wish I would have screenshotted them. He didn't.
Okay, I was going to say.
Nope,
I was. How do we confirm?
Because it was 14 hours ago.
Okay.
I didn't realize.
That is so 14 hours ago, Steve.
These are the three tweets in succession. There's about an hour between the first one, and then these two are back to back. I'm going to read them. The mayor. And this is Donald Trump tweeting, the mayor of San Juan, who was very complimentary only a few days ago, has now been told by the Democrats that you must be nasty to Trump. Such poor leadership ability by the mayor of San Juan and others in Puerto Rico who are not able to get their workers to help. They want everything to be done for them when it should be a community effort. 10,000 federal workers now on island doing a fantastic job. Are you kidding me?
So the Democrats told them to be mean to Trump.
Like, and so the mayor of San Juan, her name is Carmen Yellen Cruz.
Right.
And she is, you know, tweeted out and she said in interviews, like, listen, we are in dire straits. People don't have food. People don't have water. It's hot. This is Puerto Rico. We don't have electricity, which means we don't have air conditioning. We don't have fans. People are dehydrated. This is if we don't
and we
get,
don't have clean water.
Right, so we don't have clean water. We don't have anything. And so if we don't get something soon, like if we don't get to a lot of people in a lot of places, and not just San Juan, right? San Juan is
right.
kind of is a tourist center, so there's obviously a lot of help that's going to go there. But there's plenty of people on the rest of the island. And so if they don't get help and they don't get resources, then those people could die. And it's not just throw money at it. Like money is how people will get paid. But ultimately, they need resources on the ground. People getting people bottles of water.
Bottles
getting
of water,
them food. Getting
medical
clean
supplies.
Water, medical supplies, everything else. And she's talking about the reality of it. And you know, I have friends, I have a lot of Puerto Rican friends who, you know, have family members on the island who have some communication with them. And I mean, it is dire straits on that island right now. Those people are in desperate need of all those things that we just previously mentioned, and they are trying to get the word out any way that they can. The mayor's got a voice. They put a microphone in front of her face, and she's saying, this is what we need. We need help. It's great that FEMA's here. It's great that Pitbull gave a plane. It's great that Jay-Z gave $1 million. But that we need more and now. And for Donald Trump to come out and say, well, it's poor leadership by you. You need to get your people to help. Her people to help. Her people don't have food, water, electricity.
Right.
You know, I mean, her people have been.
And it's not like they're sitting there twiddling their thumbs. I mean, I've seen, obviously, news coverage stuff. You know, people are literally looking at the remnants of what their home once was.
Their home. They're looking at. They're missing entire cities.
Yeah.
Right. There have been cities and neighborhoods and large areas that are completely wiped out. That are gone. There is nothing left. And a lot of that goes to the lack of infrastructure and the lack of engineering and the lack of planning
and building codes
and building codes and everything else that goes into building a city that can withstand something like this, especially when you are in a hurricane zone. And I guess you balance. All right, do we spend a ton of money on, building and, having these buildings that are all that stuff? Or do we just have these structures that can be easily rebuilt and just, kind of do this over and over again? I mean, they gambled. I mean, they dealt with it for a while. I mean, this is the storm that comes every 100 years.
They really, yeah, all right, but we've had the storm that comes every 100 years every year for the past 10.
Yeah, true.
That's me being an environmental guy again, but that drives me crazy because it keeps fucking happening.
Agreed. At some point in time, you have to say, okay, we need to reassess what our expectations what our expectations of these storms are. They're obviously getting stronger by the year for whatever reason. Climate change, whether it's because of emissions if it's just because Earth has these rotations that we don't know because we're not, we as humans are only here at, for 80-year cycles, and the Earth's been here for millions of years, maybe this is the cycle.
6,000, Steve.
And it's flat. Oh, my God. Can we talk? Oh, okay. At some point in time, we have to talk about the people who believe the Earth is flat. Today, we're doing it tonight. I don't care.
I'm totally fine with that.
We're doing it because
I want to do it right now.
No, not right now, because I don't know. I might punch you in the face because.
Why would you punch me in the face?
Because you're the only person here. Who else am I going to punch? Oh, give me the anger thing.
There we go.
The anger doll from the Emotions Disney Pixar.
Inside Out.
Inside Out, yeah. Anyway, so besides that distraction, but I mean, that Trump's lack of empathy, his lack of understanding, his lack of tact, and
his need to promote himself in the face of...
just the unnecessary politicalization of what's going on down there. Listen, this is what the worst part about it is. He spun, like most people use situations like this to their advantage, and they say, okay, we're going to go and we're going to push a strong humanitarian effort here. Let's get rid of the Jones Act right away. Let's temporarily ban it so the ships can just go straight to Puerto Rico. They don't have to bypass and go to an American and then go back there. No, let's get rid of that right away. As soon as the storm is over, you get that cleared up. I mean, it's an executive order. You can do it in your bed if you wanted to.
Which, by the way, he has never been shy about signing executive orders.
Right. I mean, it's something that you could wipe out immediately, and then you do everything that you can to get supplies there. You redirect Navy medical ships. You get planes over there, and you just start dropping water randomly on the island.
Let's give some credit where credit's due. They did get a floating hospital out there. They've done some good things, and I hope that the
agreed. But listen,
not enough.
I mean, this is it as a president whose numbers are horrible, right, in terms of approval, right? No matter his fake news and Breitbart and all that other shit that they say, yeah, you got a silent majority and everything else. But right now...
You don't have a silent majority.
Right. I mean, you have an obnoxious majority.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
the opposite of a silent majority.
Right. I mean, I also don't believe you have a majority, right? But you have a whole lot of people. But you still need to have... You still want to try in some way, shape, or form to create a mandate. Right, and right now you don't have that. No matter what you say, you throw the term fake news out there all you want, you don't actually have a legitimate mandate. So one of the ways you can curry favor is having a quality humanitarian effort for something that's legitimate, right? Like Puerto Rico is a major part of the United States, right? Like, and it just got wiped out by a hurricane. So throw all your resources at it immediately and show them support, show them compassion, get those people help, go above and beyond. Right. Be a leader. Do everything you can to help those people. Right.
You could blame other people who are in a bad situation.
Or you could blame the people themselves that are actually in the horrible situation for not helping themselves out of it. You know, I mean, giving them the old, well, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Like, I mean, that's
even though one of your boots got swept away.
Right, even though you don't have any boots or straps to pull yourself up by, please feel free to go ahead and stop bugging me about your problems, is essentially what he's saying.
Yeah. And so to me, there's a couple angles about this, too. It's kind of scary to me because he's saying fake news. We're doing great. Giving an A+. The reports coming back are that the efforts are lacking, and it's a Herculean effort following back-to-back huge storms. So I don't want to disrespect any of the people their thing.
And it's an island that's
surrounded by an ocean. It's a really big ocean. Actual quote from our president, folks. It's an ocean. It's a really big ocean. Yeah, most oceans are big with a lot of water.
It's a lot of water.
I hear there's sharks in there.
It's bigly. It's so big. You won't believe how big it is. If you've ever been out there, you have no idea.
Believe me.
I don't want to go down the road of political bashing. The problem is the people in Puerto Rico need help. And it is a dire situation, mm-hmm. no matter how he wants to describe it.
Yeah.
And I just want those people to get the help that they need. And if he wants to grandstand and say whatever he wants to say, I just hope that he backs it up with actual action.
Have you ever been to Puerto Rico?
Yes.
Okay. So have I. I was there for work. And so I was staying in a resort on Isla Verde and working in Carolina, which is about 30 miles east of San Juan. When you travel 30 miles out of San Juan into Carolina, you see there's a lot of poverty and a lot of people living in, high rises that are.
Well, I mean, it was very susceptible to something like this. Mm-hmm. It's amazing that it didn't happen before. I mean, there's not a lot of building codes. There's not a lot of planned development. There's not a lot of, quality, well thought out infrastructure, given their locality and their location.
Right. And then there's tremendous wealth in San Juan. I mean, there's incredible poverty, but there's also, I was staying in a resort. Were you there for business or pleasure?
Just for fun.
Okay.
Sorry,
it's part of the show. Anyway, I mean, I got out of the main drag, so to speak, and it was amazing how much things changed a mile from the city.
Yeah, and I guess for me, that's something that it's weird how that works, right? Because is it really that different than Chicago or Manhattan or
Cleveland
or LA? That, I mean, it's
that's
not.
That's a good point.
And so, I mean, people say that all the time. They're like, oh, we were on the resort and then we went on this little junket. And it's, oh my God, there are so many poor people. It's so crazy. Like, thank God it's not like that in the U.S. Like,
and then you and I drive around Cleveland all the time, and you can go from downtown Cleveland around the Progressive Field and Quicken Loans Arena, where there's restaurants, bars, and fun, and people going around
flats and all these fancy buildings.
And then you go a mile east,
yeah,
and
it's
boarded up windows, and it's not that. That's true. And so much of it is perception, right? So much of it is, when we see that all the time because we live here. So to us, it's a normal day. And then you go someplace new, and you see
you go to the resort,
and then
an island, and the white sandy beaches, and you get the great food and everything else, and you're just like,
great
this
food
is
out there.
This, oh, wow. And actually, the one thing about Puerto Rico and a lot of the different places like in the Caribbean, and it just is for better food if you're willing to risk some of the
life and limb,
some of the health issues that come with going off of the resort. The food actually gets better when you get away from the resort.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, it is, that has been my experience anywhere that I've gone. It's just, even Miami, you know, some of those five-star restaurants are really good, but you go to Little Havana in Miami and you want to take a nap on a park bench when you're done eating.
That can be taken a bunch of ways, but I mean, I went to a Cuban restaurant. You know, we didn't even bring up Cuba in our pre-show talk because now they're rolling back all the Cuba stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, because Obama said it, so
that it must be bad.
It has to be bad, right? Like, I mean, it only makes sense for us to have a tense relationship with Cuba because they're a threat to us, right?
Well, they did attack us on the Bay of... Oh, wait, no, that's not true. All right, dude.
Well, bullshit.
I want it, well, we attacked them, but anyway. I do want you to jump the rails and go flat Earth because I can't wait to see where you go with this.
Well, okay. So
I don't want to put this off. Let's do this.
If you go to you know, at Whiskey Congress on Twitter, I tweeted this out. So there's a rapper. His name is B.O.B. Not Bob.
I call him Bob,
but it's B.O.B. And he is a flat earther, along with former beloved Cleveland child star Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is a flat earther.
You know what?
And it's growing. Flat eartherism is growing amongst like young black people.
It's, yeah. Oh no. But how sincere is it?
I think it's very. I think that these guys feel that they're enlightened. They think that they have. I have a little bit of a drawback with B.O.B., but I firmly believe that Kyrie believes that the Earth is flat.
I vacillate. Do they really believe it, or are they just tweaking the system? Are they just going, you know, Eddie Bravo conspiracy theory nutcase? I'm going to just throw shit out there, and I'm not going to own it, but I'm not going to. I don't want to believe what the man is pushing.
That mindset, I hate to do this, but that's essentially trolling, right?
I'm accusing them of trolling, you're saying.
Right. That's essentially what, like that type of trolling, right, when you're talking about something like that serious, is, I all I saw was Troy.
Beat LSU 24-21.
Whoa. Wow.
Oh. Whoa. Breaking sports news. Just got a flash. Troy beat LSU 24-21.
We don't
need to go down that road.
That's not good for gravelly voice.
It is not.
Ed Orgeron, like his voice is the gravelly.
He was awesome, yes.
Oh, yeah, we're going to go down there and score some touchdowns, yeah. So anyway, I think that you're accusing them of trolling. I don't agree. I don't think that they're trolling. I have some questions about the sincerity of B.O.B. only because he started like a GoFundMe page to get a
boat to drive to the end of the Earth or something.
He wanted to do a satellite. He wanted to like raise $1 million for a satellite to launch up to like get real pictures that, you know, he and the other flat earthers took to prove that the Earth is flat. Now, there have been other people who believe the Earth is flat. They've done this with, like, you know, balloons and a GoPro camera, and they're like, oh, shit, once you get to a certain point, like, you can see the curve, and it's like, all right, never mind.
But seriously, if you've ever been in a plane, you can see the curvature. I mean, unless there's cloud cover.
I mean, the big thing is a lot of, because that's what happens, like, the cloud cover, people will look at that and say, oh, well, there's clouds, and looks like a straight horizon line to me, so there's no way that people... The Earth's not flat, okay? It's just not.
Nor is it 6,000 years old, which I said earlier as a joke.
It's not. It's millions of years old. It's round, right? Like, we know it's round. We have plenty of proof that it's round. I don't know what to tell you. Like, if you run...
So why do you think young black men, maybe women too, I don't know, but young black men are flocking to this? Is it hip?
It's a part of it is being hip. Part of it is sort of the idea of trolling and bucking the system and... Don't believe everything you've been told. There's more to the story. They're lying to you. They're feeding you lies.
Fake news.
All of that stuff, right? Like, it's all a conspiracy. Everything that they've been telling us is a lie. The truth is the Earth is flat and the United States caused 9/11, right? Like, the United States planned 9/11 and the, you know, the towers came down because it was a controlled
demolition, right?
Explosion and all this other stuff. Like, they believe all those different theories, right? And so I think part of it is a lack of education. Part of it is a vulnerability because, like, young black people and, like, black people in general, we are vulnerable. We are exposed because...
And I think distrusting of the bigger system at times, right? I mean...
Well, and that's the vulnerability because because for years, we've just been told, well, just rely on religion and God, and that'll get you through, right? And that really hasn't gotten us anywhere, right? So people are starting to kind of go beyond the whole... I mean, like, literally all we had was religion to hold on to. Like, that's what... I mean, like, religion got us through slavery, so it'll get us through Jim Crow, and it'll get us through the Civil Rights Movement, and it'll get us through the riots and desegregation and everything else. So, I'm just saying, like, and so everything was rely on religion. And now people are saying, okay, we've been relying on religion for, like, a few hundred years, and it's gotten us dick. So...
Well, I mean, Reverend Martin Luther King, Reverend Jesse Jackson, Reverend Al Sharpton. I mean, all these guys were religious leaders. Sorry for putting those three guys in the same category. But my point is that they used a religious title to...
Right. I mean, and it's just like, because that's literally all black people had was religion. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I mean, like, we were captured as slaves, brought over to the U.S. or the Caribbean or South America, and they taught us religion, and then that was pretty much it. Right, I mean, that's all, and
the solace was always in the church, right? I mean, spirituals and testifying and all that other stuff was a religious comfort.
It was faith in something that you couldn't see, faith in a higher power, faith in that, like, what life can't just be being a slave, or life can't just be being a black person under the rule of law of Jim Crow. Life can't just be, being harassed by police and being in drug-infested communities and gangs and everything else. Life can't just be that. So there's got to be a God, and if I'm good to that God, then he'll either get me out of the situation while I'm on Earth, give me the strength, or once I pass, I'll be in heaven and I can help through that. I can help that way, right? But people essentially have kind of lost faith and are saying, all right, well, not only do I not believe in the religion, but everything else that you told me is a lie, because white people fed us religion and Christianity, right? So if you guys fed us that was a crock of shit. It hasn't gotten us anywhere. Then this whole thing about the Earth being round, fuck you. It's not true. Prove it to me. You can't, because it looks flat to me, all right? I look that way, and it's fucking flat. So screw you and screw that and everything else. Illuminati rules and all that other shit.
And the truth is that religion is playing a lesser role in guiding people's decision-making and lives in America today than it did 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago.
Absolutely.
Across all demographics.
Yep.
Including me. not that I'm a demographic, but yeah. So I get that. It's kind of interesting. But why flat Earth is something I will not understand.
I don't know what you need. I don't understand.
Doesn't it also discredit the people who, like, the people who make good points, if you then say, and the Earth is flat, you're like, oh...
Right, it's such a killer, and it's not easy to prove, just because how high you have to go to see the curvature of the sphere that is the Earth, planet Earth.
Right,
but it's not that hard. I mean, like, it is hard just because I don't have a camera or
right.
I mean, they say you can do it with a balloon, but I don't, you know, whatever.
I can't.
Right. Like, I don't know how that works or whatever. I mean, it just, but you get up in a plane, you know, you get 10,000 feet up, and on a clear day, you look out your window and it's just like, oh yeah, there it goes. Look at that little dip. Get that little dip.
Yep.
Right over. And you look, the sun is fucking round. The moon is round. Like, when you look up in the sky, you're looking at two big fucking spheres.
I'm going to try to start an Earth-centric solar system movement where the sun actually revolves around the Earth. I'm going to try to get that going.
Don't. You know why? Because
it might work.
There's fucking idiots out there. There are idiots out there. Oh, I'll take you out. I will take you out before that is allowed to spread.
Steve will try to destroy the sun god before he proves.
I
didn't mean sun god. That ruined my point.
Fucking but, moron. That's why you didn't get into Harvard, you fucking asshole.
Yeah, I didn't lose my iPad. Sorry, that was kind of dickish. All right.
I'm just going to steal yours.
My code is 123456, so I am fucked. All right. So we talked about the NFL protest on Friday last week. Before the shit really hit the fan.
Yeah, and
hit the fan hard.
And I actually, the way it hit, I actually almost went back and said, hey, we need to re-record the show just to have a better sort of, you know, I didn't realize how strong the NFL teams, coaches, players were going to come out.
Owners,
right? I mean, it just my whole rant at the end of the last show was, you know, as a black person, it really sucks, right? Because these issues come up, and we always have to give up the shit we like. Like, all right, protest it, boycott it, and let you know.
But now you can protest Trump by watching again.
Well, it's so now it's a really fucked up situation, right? Because you have a strong contingency of black people who are protesting and boycotting the NFL because Colin Kaepernick's not in the league, and they feel that that's a direct impact of race, or that's a direct cause of racism and NFL owners not wanting a black disruptor on their team.
Right.
And to a degree, I think that's true. That's absolutely true.
It's a part of it. I mean, you spelled that really well in the last show.
I mean, there's other aspects of it. I think that if you're looking at it honestly and critically, and you're looking at it not just in the vacuum of socio-political, but remember that this is a game, an enterprise, a business. There are multiple factors, but the race and the disruptor aspect can't be ignored, and it's a part of it. I absolutely believe that and understand it. So you have a contingency of black people and supporters of the cause of social justice and fighting against social injustice who are boycotting the league. You know, I have a lot of black friends who are saying they're not watching the NFL right now.
Right.
And then
I have a lot of white friends who are saying the same thing.
Right. White, you know, black,
for
white.
For very different reasons. So.
Well, I mean, I have a lot of friends on the left who are not watching the NFL, boycotting the NFL until Colin Kaepernick gets signed. Right. And then on the right, you know, because the NFL players are, you know, kind of, you know, banding together. Now, this is where it gets a little bit convoluted, because now all of a sudden you have entire teams and owners coming out and kneeling during the anthem, or locking arms, or kneeling before the anthem and then standing up and then locking arms. Like, what is the reason why they're doing this? Well, you know, and a lot of them, especially the owners, are doing this to buck Trump. A lot of them are doing this to say, you're not going to tell us how to run our league, Donald Trump, who is not allowed in our league, right? You tried to get in our league twice, and we rebuffed you, you know, both times. We rebuffed you in the 80s. You know, you tried to merge the USFL with the NFL.
You sued the NFL and won all of $3.
$3.67.
What was it? Okay, well,
$3.76. I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right. Because they gave him a dollar.
Oh, that's so funny.
They gave him a dollar, but because it was an antitrust suit and it was in antitrust court, it's multiplied by three.
Right.
And so
where did 76 cents come in?
That was interest.
You're fucking kidding me.
I am not.
Okay, so he won. Let's say this for people who are younger and don't know this. There was the USFL existed in right around 1983, 84.
It was like pretty much 83 to 86,
somewhere in that range. And Donald Trump owned the New Jersey Generals, which eventually merged with the Houston Gamblers, I want to say, because the USFL tried to run a league that would be a challenge to the NFL. Donald Trump was a team owner.
And they played in the spring.
And they threw a bunch of money, and a bunch of guys would become NFL stars, including Steve Young, Jim Kelly,
Herschel Walker.
Right. So they did everything they could to disrupt the monopoly that is the NFL. They sued the NFL, claimed the NFL was a monopoly. And then they said, basically, so the court ruling was, you are correct, the NFL is a monopoly. They have damaged you. However, the damage that they've done to you is so insignificant compared to your own fundamental incompetence that we're awarding you $1 in damages, which is the court's way of saying, fuck you, you're your own problem. And because it was a punitive case, it gets tripled. I didn't know the 76 cents was interest.
It was interest.
That's awesome.
So the weird thing about that is all of this would have worked. It actually would, like the USFL actually was would have made money had they kept their games in the spring. Donald Trump is the one who said we're going to go head to head in the fall, meaning that and if we go head to head in the fall and we match them with ratings or have decent ratings, they'll eventually want to merge with us and we'll lose a couple teams. But
which essentially happened in the NBA and the ABA, right?
Right. So that's all he was doing was taking the NBA and the ABA model. But the NBA and the ABA were completely different because they were both fledgling. They were both having issues, right?
True.
Like, I mean, and so the ABA was more popular. But the NBA. There's
some great stories about the ABA NBA merger. I don't want to get down that road
now.
But we should do it sometime because that's absolutely. Great historical story.
So, you know, but that was a completely different situation scenario. You also had a lot, like you had a lot, like it was a lot more balanced with the ABA and the NBA. There was still an advantage there, but this situation was completely tilted towards the NFL from the beginning. And you only had, you know, like maybe five marquee stars in the USFL where you had in the NFL, the NFL.
I mean, the NFL had actually gone through that 30 years earlier, 25 years earlier,
right?
30, yeah, with the AFL NFL merging, forming the NFL with AFC NFC. So they had been through that, and a lot of the original owners from the NFL had been through that. They
and said,
been
"We're there, not doing that.
We're not doing this shit again.
We're not doing it again. There's no reason to do it again. It didn't make sense financially for the NFL to do it. Now, the fact that they were a monopoly, I think that's something that should like people could hold on to, but it doesn't matter because there's no one there to challenge them. But that being said, so the USFL wins the case against them, but
when you win, you actually lose,
right? Because the league was so poorly managed, right? And because had Donald Trump not pushed to play the games in the fall, had they stayed in the spring, then they would have been financially viable. They and by staying financially viable, keeping those games in the spring, they actually would have won more because they asked for $1.69 billion in damages. So had they won even half of that, the league actually would have been able to probably stay afloat and maybe begin to flourish. And all of a sudden, then maybe you actually do have a rival league. You are getting football year-round. And it's a completely different – who knows? Could have changed the whole – way, shape, all this goes. But Donald Trump, being Donald Trump, pushes the envelope, says we got to play in the fall, and then we're going to sue them. And then they lost. They only got $3.76. And, you know, he pretty much was out of the NFL. Fast forward to 2014, he tries to buy the Bills. He ends up being outbid. He also has to show his finances.
So as a Bills fan, when all that was going down, it was basically a group led by, amongst others, John Bon Jovi, which had a lot of Toronto ties, and in Buffalo there was tremendous paranoia that the Bills get moved to Toronto, and
because of Buffalo's, I mean, Buffalo's not far,
an hour and 45 minutes from Toronto. Toronto's got a much bigger tax base, and you know, there was thought that the league would want to expand, you know, over across the border, and then there was the Terry Pegula's group that. Already owned the Buffalo Sabres, and you know they made a couple billion dollars in the oil and gas industry in Pennsylvania, and then there was Trump, and was loud.
You know the Pegulas are like the 18th richest family in all of professional sports.
Terry Pegula is they're quietly right. You don't hear them along with the Koch brothers or the Waltons or whatever, but yeah, they've done okay. So anyway, the Pegulas get it, but this is kind of an expose. Fast forwarding, Trump talked a lot about wanting to buy the Bills, but when it came time to put proof of possibilities, he got real quiet real fast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fast forward to the 2016 campaign when he wouldn't reveal his tax records, it seems like he's really eager to avoid showing his true financials. No, it's been proven he doesn't want to show his true financials.
Yeah, we know he doesn't want to.
I'm curious what they really are.
This is what I can tell you. You know, being from Youngstown, I know there's a couple very wealthy families in in the area. The DiBartolos and the Cafaros. The DiBartolo family, the DiBartolo family and the Yorks are, you know, the owners of the San Francisco 49ers. And then the Cafaros, who a lot of people listening don't know or probably have never heard of, they're one of the largest builders of strip malls in the country. And
were the DiBartolos Blockbuster or am I mixing up?
Yeah, no.
Okay. Oh, the Huizengas were.
Yeah.
Sorry, they're Western Michigan. Sorry.
But so you like so where I'm from, you've got the DiBartolos and the Cafaros. The DiBartolos were much more open because they owned the 49ers. And, you know, we all know Eddie DiBartolo and everything else. And then the Yorks, you know, ownership gets transferred to the Yorks because of Eddie DiBartolo's issues and everything else. So you have that family, right? And they're a lot more open and a lot, like, their money came from real estate. But obviously owning an NFL team really boosted their financial status, right? And so they're much more open with where their money comes from and how they made it. The Cafaros, on the other hand, who most people listening don't know who that family is.
I don't know there.
They are, we know, not a lot of people know actually how much money the Cafaros have. And there's a reason for that because, you know, Tony Cafaro Sr. pays a lot of money to make sure that people don't know how much money they have. Right? Like, I mean, he just, I mean, you talk to him, you sit, like, he, there's an old bar in Youngstown called the Golden Dawn, and you could find him there on a Friday night after Ursuline, my former high school, played. You know, the Cafaro family, they were an Ursuline family. His son, I went to high school with his son. But they, I mean, you could sit down and talk to him, and he never, ever wanted to talk about anything money-related. While he's sitting there, you know, he'll buy you an 89-cent schooner of beer. And
what is a schooner of beer?
A schooner. It's like a. It's like
I know a schooner's a fucking ship.
It's a ship, but no, a schooner. Like at the Golden Dawn, there was a schooner. It was like this
Golden Dawn or Golden Dawn?
Golden Dawn. D-A-W-N.
Okay, Dawn. Okay.
Like the Golden Dawn.
Okay, Dawn.
Like
okay.
Golden, right.
I'm not trying to.
No, it's fine. Trust me, like this place is nothing special. But anyway.
Asian Dawn. D-A-W-N. Die Hard reference. If you get it, great. If not, sorry.
But. The whole point is that Tony Cafaro paid a lot of money to make sure that people didn't know how much money his family has made, is making. They just doesn't want it out there. Don't know why. Now, family's also had some troubles from a legal standpoint, and they've managed to avoid it, thankfully.
Okay.
But, I mean, I'm
You're
sure
afraid so, Putin doesn't come after us, these guys will.
Right. Good job, so, Steve. That being said, it's not unheard of or uncommon for very, very wealthy people to say, you know what, it's worth more for me to not be on the Fortune top 100 list of most wealthy families.
But here's where that analogy goes. Okay, go ahead, finish. But
right,
Trump has never been shy about
flaunting wealth. The
problem
with Trump is that he will tell you he's worth $10 billion or $18 billion.
Right, exactly.
But then when it comes time to say, okay, not that we care about how exactly how much, we still need to know where your financials are and where who you're tied to financially to make sure that it makes sense that you're the president of the United States. And he says, eh, nah, actually you don't. And for some reason, our government across the board is kind of like, yeah, he really doesn't have to show us. Which
and he technically doesn't.
And that's technically bullshit, right? I mean, I don't know how, I mean, we're here and we're talking about it, but isn't that, you know, technically bullshit?
Right,
like, so, shouldn't somebody somewhere have the authority to say, fuck you, show me, or you don't get to be president?
I was about to argue with you, and then I had a flashback to how much personal stuff I had to disclose to let them buy this
to
house.
To buy a fucking house.
To buy the place we are speaking in right now.
Right. Like, I mean, just to, I mean, well, you can't say buying a car, because they're kind of fast and loose with selling cars.
They are. But no, I mean, the shit I went through,
yeah,
I
mean,
you,
yeah,
heard,
I mean,
you put up with me bitching at the bar multiple times.
I wasn't putting up with you. I was right there with you.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
I mean, like, it's, so that's just us buying a house, right? A couple hundred thousand dollars, whatever it might be. This guy is the leader of the free world. I just feel like it kind of makes sense that we know what his money is tied to, where it comes from, you know, looking at a person's taxes and looking at a person's financials, looking at where the money, where it flows in and where it flows out, that matters. You can tell, like, there's a whole science based on forensic accounting,
Right? Like, I mean, like, forensic accounting is
a science, yes.
It's a science. You can study it in college. You can go to, you can become a professor of it.
It's how they take down the mob.
They have divisions of it in the FBI, the CIA, and every major crime-fighting organization in the United States. So I would think that it would make a little sense for us to be able to see, and if not you and me personally, then at least everybody else in the federal government who kind of matters.
I think if they did that top to bottom from president down through every representative, senator, and governor, we'd be better off because people would feel the need to
be
allowed.
Well, just look at where they're at with Paul Manafort, right? I mean, looking at Paul Manafort's financials, you're just like, ooh, there is some shit going on here, right? I mean, that's what him and Flynn, like, that's their issue, is where their money ties out to when you look at their financials. And so I'm not as it's not about collusion, right? Like that word, because
right.
That word doesn't fucking mean anything. Like liberals lose their fucking mind over the word collusion. Well, find me somewhere in anywhere where collusion actually means something and carries a criminal penalty. It doesn't.
Well, I mean, yeah.
It doesn't.
If you are directly involved in an act versus indirectly, it does have some. All right,
define it.
I'm colluding right now. I don't want to go down that road because haven't thought this
through.
Pull
your fucking phone out. I don't care.
No, I'm just saying, if
you go and you look at the definition of collusion, the legal definition of collusion, and then talk to me about what the punishment is or where it stands, then it's not even gray. It's a complete fog. It's a mist. Like there's nothing there. Like you're gonna have to make something up, and that's not how you take. You can't just make shit up to take a president down.
I was thinking differently about where you were going with that. I was saying that if you are an active participant or a willing participant in an act versus an unwitting participant, there are legal consequences to intent. Is what I meant.
Act of what?
If you knowingly collude with somebody versus if you and I conspire, all right, conspiracy there. Collusion, I'm comparing collusion to conspiracy, which I think are fair.
Okay, you see how tough a time you're having with this though?
Fair enough.
Okay, but if you're gonna take your president down, you can't, but
I'm not even going there. I'm saying your bigger point, I think, is that regardless of all this, where did their money come from?
Yes.
And if you were getting your money, even if it's not a criminal thing, if I'm understanding where you're coming from, if it's not a criminal thing, we have the right to know where your money came from. And I can say this from a personal experience. The first property I ever owned, I bought a condo in Columbus, Ohio. And the majority of my down payment, my 3% down payment, came from a gift from my grandmother. It was $2,000 from my grandmother. And I had to prove that was a gift, not a loan.
Yep.
So that was for me to buy a condo in Columbus, Ohio. Technically Dublin, Ohio, if I'm going to be truthful, because I wouldn't be called a liar later.
Nobody cares.
I know. I had to go through that. I had to literally get a letter from my grandmother saying this was a gift because I'm a good Italian grandmother and I'm going to, you know, give my nice son Jimmy, or grandson Jimmy, some money. To be president of the United States or fill any of these other roles, the fact you don't have to prove shit is kind of amazing. I've never really thought about it in those terms, but yeah, it is.
Right. I mean, it's kind of a big deal because this is my concern. If his money does come from Russia, right?
Or Trump.
Well, Trump, Manafort,
Flynn,
Ivanka, whoever. Like, if you're going to be in a position of power in the United States and your money is coming from a foreign government, a foreign agency, whether it's Russia or China or Saudi Arabia, or, you know, I mean, like, because, you know, I mean, he was pretty chummy with Saudi Arabia a few months back.
Well,
right,
too many presidents have been chummy with Saudi Arabia. Okay, don't get down that road.
I know. Relax. But sure. It was just an example. But, you know, whatever. If you can look at the money and say, oh, well, it came from this company, but that company is actually a shell company for, you know, the Kremlin or for for Assad or whoever it might be, then I'm sorry, then that's something that the people need to know. And I feel like that also our security personnel need to know, or our security agencies need to know, because you may actually be a risk to national security as president. Not because you may be a traitor, but because you just may be vulnerable.
What is it? What got David Petraeus went?
Well, yeah, that's exactly David Petraeus. The problem is he was sleeping
subject to blackmail.
Right, he was sleeping with a reporter or a biographer.
Biographer, yeah.
And he was basically having pillow talk where he was telling her, you know, national security secrets and everything else. And the issue was like, listen, now you're vulnerable, right? Like you're sleeping with a woman who doesn't have security clearance. You're telling her national security, you know, confidential information. She could use that against you. Right?
Or now, others could use against you the fact that you were sleeping with
her. Right, or she could use it against you, or others could use it against, like, whatever. And so all those sorts of things, all that sort of shit matters. And that's why it's important that we see your taxes, right? It's not even your tax returns. It's
income.
Right, looking how the money comes in and where the money goes when it goes out. All right, like, it just should be a full forensic scan of anyone who wants to run for public office at that high level. We should know where their money comes from and how they got it and where it goes.
Follow the money is a very legitimate investigative tool.
Exactly.
From
now,
time.
Now listen, we kind of got way off the track.
We did.
I want to go back to the NFL protest. You know, my initial complaint was, damn it, I want to be a good soldier. Right, for the cause of, you know, people who look like me, and my people, but at the same time, like, god damn it, like, another thing that I fucking enjoy, I gotta give up for the sake of the cause, right? And it seems like, well, everything that you enjoy were given to you by white people, so you just give up everything you like and find new shit to like. Oh, god damn it. Okay. But that being said, I think that everything that happened in the NFL this previous week in week 3 was very powerful, and it meant a lot. But it's not what I would have done. And here's the thing.
All right.
If I'm the commissioner of the NFL, we never even would have got to this point. Ever. You know why?
I don't.
Because in 2009, I would have never let the teams out of the locker room. See, prior to 2009, NFL teams weren't on the sideline for games.
Not on the sideline for
the national anthem.
Right.
They came out as soon as the end of the national anthem, you had the for the hall of the brave, boom, you know, and then out came the players and, you know, you'd have, you know, especially like nine, you know, like different things would happen. Like you'd have the players run out, you'd have, you know, a lineman or somebody running out with the flag and boom, there it was. I would have kept that. I would have thought about it. Hindsight 2020, whatever.
Sure.
But that all kind of changed because the Department of Defense started paying the NFL for patriotic ceremonies,
yep.
Right, and celebrations, right? Like, so now they're just saying, like, hey, why don't you guys have the players come out on the field, and then when the players are out on the field, we're going to do the stuff with the flag, and we're going to do the stuff with reenlistments, we're going to do the stuff with, you know, emotional stuff with families and guys and all that stuff being reunited, and we're going to pay you, the NFL, you know, a certain amount of money for these things. Now, the grand total from like 2009 to 2014 or 15 was like a total of like $13 million, right? That is a drop in the bucket for the NFL.
That's half a season of Tom Brady.
It was like the amount towards the NFL, it was nothing.
Right.
So for me, if I'm Roger Goodell in 2009, I'm looking at this and saying, you know, we appreciate it, but I don't feel comfortable. Listen, and if I'm Roger Goodell, like, the Department of Defense is saying, hey, we're going to take taxpayer dollars and we're going to give them to you for you to do ceremonies to celebrate us. Like, just that conversation to me would have made me uncomfortable. I said, no, we'll pass. Why don't we, you guys do whatever it is you want to do.
I think you were being honest, though, when you said it's a hindsight thing. Because at the time, it probably looked great, right?
Why would it look great, though?
Because we're going to wrap ourselves around the flag. The flag's going to get wrapped around us.
What's the number one thing that coaches, general managers, and owners talk about that they don't like in the NFL?
Controversy and distraction?
Absolutely.
All right.
And so if you're but
there's nothing controversial about wrapping yourself in the flag until recently.
I disagree. Because if I'm an NFL owner,
right,
or if I'm the commissioner of the NFL, you think I don't know the history of the national anthem? You think I don't know about Tommy Smith?
I think most NFL owners don't.
If I'm Roger Goodell and I'm running a league, like, you do know about Tommy.
You should.
Okay. Well, either way, you know about Dr. Carlos and Tommy Smith, what was the white guy's name?
What, the white guy from that Olympics, the 68 Olympics?
He was standing on the podium with him.
I don't know.
Neil. Oh God,
this is gonna suck.
I wrote something on our site, but either way,
all right.
My point is, okay. Peter Norman.
Okay.
Peter Norman actually came in second place in the 100-meter dash in the 1968 Olympics. Right.
All
right. And so
I would have never come up with that name, by the way.
So Peter Norman comes in second place. He's from Australia. Actually, his time in that race is like the fastest time in the history of Australia. I said the 100 meter. It was 200.
All right.
But it's still the fastest like time in Australia for the 200. But Peter Norman is a guy who stood on the podium with Dr. Carlos and Tommy Smith, knowing what they were going to do. And actually, it was Peter Norman's idea, right, that they wear. Like, they had one set of gloves, right?
Right.
Like, so they were both supposed to, like, have, you know, a glove on, I believe, the right fist or the left fist. I can't remember which one was a designated
fist. It was a raised fist, right.
But, like, they had a designated fist, and then he said, all right, like, I think Tommy Smith had left his gloves in the thing. Carlos had his. So Peter Norman's idea was like, all right, just split the gloves up. You raise your left, you raise the right. And, you know, like, you guys can still do it in unison. Now, why is that important? Because Peter Norman is a white guy from Australia. Right, as white as they come. And he, not only did he not shy away from it, he didn't step down from it, he didn't get out of the way of it, he embraced it, he was a part of it, and he recognized that what was going on in the country in 1968 in the United States, him being an Australian, they had nothing like that there, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, the Aborigines who were abandoned on the outside, but it was just a way different scenario in Australia than what you have in the United States. And so he recognized the injustices that were going on. And he said, listen, I'm not going to raise a fist because it doesn't mean the same if I do it. But he stood there and he was a part of that moment, right? And he'll always be a part of that moment because if you know that image, you see Tommy Smith, you see Dr. Carlos, and then you see Peter Norman, right? Just standing there, reverent and respectful. They ended up becoming very close after that. Tommy Smith and Dr. John Carlos, when Peter Norman died in, I think, 2006, they actually were pallbearers at his funeral.
Wow. I didn't know. Right? I didn't know he lived that long.
Right. And so, what do you mean?
Yeah, that's a good point.
What do you mean?
I'm feeling old lately. I didn't know he died and I didn't know.
Right. So anyway, I mean,
I said that poorly.
My whole point about this is, It's important because the issue itself is very important. Right now, I have my issues with Colin Kaepernick. Right,
you've made that clear.
And why, you know, I just there's other things that I haven't expressed on the show, which I'll keep to myself because I think they're just a little bit too out there, and I probably need to get a better handle on them before I actually say them in public. But what I will say is that what he's saying is social injustice, police brutality, you know, police getting away with killing black people in the street.
Sorry to interrupt, but one thing that keeps getting said, and that's definitely real, but what gets glossed over or doesn't get said enough, I don't think, is it's not just the murders. It's the day-to-day activities of, I'm going to pull you over because you're black and you're driving a nice car. I'm going to stop you on the street and pat you down because you're black and you're in this neighborhood. So it's not just the deaths of Michael Brown and Freddie Gray, which I don't mean to diminish in any way.
I think to a certain degree, you're absolutely right.
you know, it's not just the murders, but like the murders are sort of the thing
they highlight.
That,
yeah, they
right. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's almost like, listen, if we could just limit you guys to just pulling us over because we're in the wrong neighborhood, that's one thing. But you know, the fact is, you know, you and it's all a cumulative effect, right?
Because murder with impunity is really bad, and I'm not diminishing that.
Well,
in any way.
What I'm saying, but what more to what you're saying is that it's all a cumulative effect. Because if I can pull you over for no good reason without probable cause other than your skin color, and then I can, you know,
draw a weapon on you, and then next thing you know, I'm legally justified because I was scared because I was approaching you because you were pulled over.
Well, not even that. What I'm saying is this is how it builds. Police officer driving down the street sees two black youths walking down the street, can easily say, all right, I'm going to stop and see what these two kids are up to. It'll be easy for me to say I have probable cause if I find anything because of who they are. Right?
Right.
Two black kids walking down the street. I'm going to pull you over. Hey, what are you kids doing? Get up against the wall. Let me pat you down.
Right.
Oh, I found something. All right. Well, everyone's going to believe. Whatever you say.
NWA in the city of Torrance, right?
Well,
they're standing on the corner.
Please.
Same.
So you have that scenario, right?
Right.
Police driving down the street. They see the kids walking down. They pull them over. They stop. They pull them over. They pat them down. They pull something out of their pockets. They threaten them. They intimidate them. They throw them in the back of the car. They arrest them. They don't arrest them. Whatever. They move on. The next step is you actually have an actual criminal sort of situation going down. And, you know, the police go above and beyond. They use excessive force to apprehend the suspect, which, you know, I think a lot of people overlook that. They're just like, well, if you're doing something wrong, then the police have the right to beat the shit out of you because you're doing something wrong. No, they don't. They actually don't. Right. Like there are rules and there are limitations to what they can do to apprehend you. Right. But now,
or worse yet, after you're apprehended.
Right, right. I mean, like, they're supposed to be abiding by a certain set of controls to keep you safe, right? No matter how bad of an asshole you are, right? And that's where some people just say, well, if you're an asshole, you get what you get, right? It's, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Screw the rules, right? If you follow the rules, it doesn't matter. But since you didn't follow the rules, then they shouldn't have to follow the rules. So if they kick you in the face and you lose your teeth, then they kick you in the face and you lose your teeth, which obviously it's easy to see why. You know, then if you're just a dude who's late on his child support with a bad tag on your car down in Charleston, South Carolina, and you get pulled over, well, if you end up dead, you end up dead. You know, and you shouldn't have had tags. You shouldn't have been late on your child support. You shouldn't have run. You shouldn't have been a 50-year-old guy who ran. Who, by the way, was Walter Scott was a veteran, and I don't know if a lot of people know that.
I didn't actually.
He was a veteran of the Coast Guard.
Okay.
Yes,
I mean
he also got a general discharge because he had some drug issues. But
okay,
right,
all right. So one thing I want to wrap up because we definitely
but what we just talked about, that's what this is about. Those are the issues. That sort of escalation of driving down the street, seeing two black kids walking, pulling them over, all the way to shooting a guy running away in the back. Who was virtually harmless, like that's what Colin Kaepernick was originally protesting.
Yes.
Now this whole thing has been bastardized a little bit because Donald Trump injected himself to make it about him. We talked about some of the different reasons why he may want to see the NFL take a little bit of a blow, right? Because he's been rebuffed twice. So he wants to dig it and stick it to the NFL. Fuck you guys for not letting me in. You know,
and you wrote about that on our website, and I liked it.
And so I think that has a part of it, but it's important that people who with an open mind understand that those things that's not the way things are supposed to be. And so NFL players, a lot of these guys, a lot of these black athletes come from these neighborhoods where they saw police, where they got pulled over by the police just because they were walking down the street. You know, they got roughed up because, you know, they said, hey, man, why are you pulling me over? And the cop decided to snatch them up and slam their head against the wall, you know, or bounce their head off of a police car, you know, or pull them over.
Or do what Trump said and just don't be so careful about making sure their head doesn't hit the car as they push you with the back seat.
Or they pull you over because you don't have a front license plate on your truck. They pull you out of the car by gunpoint, and they put you in the back of the car in handcuffs because you don't have a front license plate on your car, right? Or they
that was a personal reference, if you're
right,
listening.
Or not only that.
Did he draw his gun? Or the cop with you just had his hand on the gun, right?
He had his hand on his gun. Or
like I'm justifying that. Like, right. Oh, it's okay now.
You know, or you know, a fight breaks out, and you know, like you're involved with the fight. Everyone else is fine, but you are the one who gets put down on his hands and knees, and then they do a flying ninja kick in your back, while you're on your hands and knees. Just why? Why? Just because.
Who that happened to? Was it you or?
Yeah, that was me.
Okay. It sounded personal. I wasn't sure if you were doing Allen Iverson because that was kind of
right
awkward.
You know, or you know, the situation where, you know, they pull you out of the car and then they beat you and they pepper spray you and they hit you with batons. They tell you to stop resisting, but it's just like, well, you pulled me out of the car. I'm not resisting anything, but you're kicking me and punching me in the face and pepper spraying me. So
yeah,
that's what those guys are protesting, right? Those are things that happen to me, right? And as much of an asshole I am, I'm not that big of an asshole where I think any of those things are deserved.
Depends on which day you ask me. Someday, Steve, I love you, man, but
do you want to get stabbed with the pen?
No, I really don't. I don't. With my own pen, by the way, you prick. It's a nice pen.
It is a nice pen. All
right, let's shut this down. I want to keep going with this. We'll do some more. I want to continue with this. There's so many more things to talk about. But we're going a bit long. We are at Whiskey Congress on all social media platforms or whiskeycongress.com. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're all over. And if you're listening to this, thank you. And please spread the word. Is there anything you'd like to add? You're giving me the I wish you hadn't shut it down moment or shut it down look, but we got to do that.
I'm good.
If I get stabbed with a pen, I can tell you who did it. Are you good?
Shut it down.
All right, we're good. Thanks.